Welcome to today's podcast, It's Worth Considering. Does it seem to you that life is a bit out of control? Well, if you think so, you are not alone. This short podcast is to help all of us consider the teachings of Christ, even in these out of control times. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-host for this discussion is James Minard and Daniel Anderson. This is the final episode in cancel culture at the family level. More specifically, adult children canceling their parents. As parents of adult children, how do we respond to the cultural charges and their willingness to cancel family relations?
Well, I think this conversation, as it's broadened out, I think is so important. I mean, to the direction in the church and how they can help families. But because I think that what we're facing and what we're going through, our southern border is wide open. We have millions of people who have come from, you know, maybe a few hundred different nations. So I do believe that we are under a Maoist revolution, that we are being systematically destroyed. And I expect it's going to get a whole heck of a lot worse. And so it's going to really matter that we have meaningful relationships, and those probably should start with the family.
Yeah, and I agree. You talked about system, you know, a revolution. I mean,
I believe we are being destroyed. I mean, the kind of $33 trillion in debt, give me a break. That's a Cloward and Piven tactic that they wrote about in the 70s for how you destroy a nation, and I do believe they are implementing it. The Weatherman Underground, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, that's where Barack Obama had his campaign begun. They are his lifelong friends. So I believe this is kind of a third term of Obama right now. So I mean, what I'm trying to say is we've seen, you know, and after the COVID martial law type lockdowns where you can't even go to church, and the stuff that we're seeing is unprecedented. So I believe we are being destroyed. And when you face that, but even apart from all that hoopla, you realize, family, we need each other, you know? And it's not easy to do.
You know,
I mean, it's a lifelong thing. It's like you said, Satan destroys, and he's always been doing this.
Right, but you know, when you hit the 60s, I mean, you know, especially when you talk about the era of like Woodstock and all that stuff, and you know, the hippie generation. That's kind of things started going, you know, accelerating. Oh, yeah. The family unit started to be being destroyed at astronomically fast rate. And then, you know, and then in early 70s, you see where married women started entering into the workforce. And what'd you see then? The divorce rate jumped dramatically.
All right, I want to jump in here, okay? Because I think all of that is deflecting, okay, away from the responsibility that each and every one of us has. When you talk about the 60s and 70s, what did it do? It revealed the weaknesses that we had and then exploited them. All right, it didn't create them. All right?
No.
It simply exposed them and exploited them. And so when we look at what's going on in our culture today, and we're seeing the disintegration and saying it is a, you know, this is an attack, I would agree it is an attack. It is a spiritual attack first that's being lived out through by human institutions and so on and so forth. But that doesn't change the fact that we are left with who we are and how we are to deal with things. It exposes the weakness. And now we, as a church and as Christians, we're responsible for dealing and not deflecting it. So
yeah, and that was my point in bringing it up, is just to show, hey, we're under a lot of obstacles. And to get through it, we need meaningful relationships. And where that especially is going to start is the family. So it just kind of motivates this whole conversation.
Sure, good.
How we need to strengthen our families to get through probably much tougher times yet.
Yeah. That brings good. You know, Dan, I think you're right. I think that's a very good point.
Stop.
All right, number two, Dan. Number two.
Number two.
All right, yes. So Dan. Healing. Healing is essential. You know, it's interesting. The word save, also can be viewed and interpreted as healing. So when Christ came to save the world, he came to heal the world. When we ask Christ to save the family unit, we're asking him to heal the family unit. Sometimes we're looking for a knight in shiny armor who's going to come and rescue us. But what Christ wants to do is to heal us so that the family can be strong. And so that's kind of what we are left with, is how is it that we can bring healing to our families and to these situations? One, I think, is like you mentioned, Dan, is just an awareness that there is a warfare that we are in, both spiritual and also the demise of this country. I think that's a legitimate thing, and it again exposes our weakness, but we have the opportunity now to address these weaknesses. Like a bone that's being broken, when it heals, it's stronger than it was before. As long as you listen to the physician, the doctors, as long as we listen to God and allow him to heal us, then we have an opportunity to really not only enjoy the benefits from our own family, but to make the path straighter for those who are coming behind in dealing with the same thing. So how do we heal? How do we heal our family? What's our part? Recognizing? Sure.
Well, Jim came clean with a bit of his personal story, so I'll give a bit of my personal story too. My wife and I have been canceled from our grandchildren. We are not allowed to see our grandchildren. And I can tell you, no, I have never, beat any of them, or no sexual molester, or not an alcoholic, or blah, blah, blah. So, yes, I believe absolutely absurdly undeserved. And I think to the very much the harm of our grandchildren, who very much love to see us. So, I kind of have a personal dog in this fight. And my wife and I both know that the way we have to deal with it, like you're asking for, is prayer. Period.
So your children have canceled you from seeing your grandchildren, not because your grandchildren want to cancel you, right?
No, our grandchildren love to see us and they love to spend time with us. But
is that canceling have to do with your faith, meaning that they just don't want?
Directly.
Yes, and that's the persecution, right?
I was told that because of the way that you raised me as a Christian. Which caused guilt feelings. We were completely canceled and not allowed to see the grandchildren.
That's hurtful. Wow.
And that's weaponized.
I responded to that text. Yeah, it is. Responded to that text and I simply said, that's on you. Because if I'm guilty of anything, it's of not being forthright enough and making sure that, my kids would regularly be going to church. I mean, we did make sure they read the Bible, but. And we had them in a public school system. Frankly, the public school system, the way it is now, if you're a Christian parent, you better be thinking real carefully if your children should be in that system. Because in so many cases, it's flat out in your face, demonic.
All right.
Including
having
them, all this transgender stuff and having them, like young women taking testosterone drugs, let's say they're starting when they're 13, by the time they're 23, they'll have the bones of a very old woman, thanks to osteoporosis.
Yeah. Okay.
They're very evil things going on. So if I'm guilty of anything, it's of not being diligent enough in instilling my faith in my son. Canceled us and will not allow us to see your grandchildren. So what my wife and I realized though is like bitterness, unforgiveness, a wrong kind of anger. No way. If we allow that into ourselves, which would happen in the natural, that'll only be serving Satan's purposes more. So instead, we realized if we can't forgive and pray for both my son and his wife for their salvation, that we have a bad heart.
Bravo. Your wife is correct. Not you, Dan, but your wife is correct.
Okay, chalk one up for her.
Can't take credit for that one. I'm glad I didn't mute you. I was thinking about doing that, but now I can't mute him. Because the point that you made, that your wife made at the very end, was really good. Because it is a matter of persecution. I brought this to my daughter last night. And and I was talking about canceling and how parents are canceling their grandparents. And she goes, for what reason? I said, some of it has to do with the Christian faith. They don't like the way in which they've been raised, and they don't want that influence on their own children. And my daughter says, well, that's understandable. And I'm thinking, well, what do you mean? Well, she goes, if you don't believe in the faith that your grandparents have, why would you want them to have an influence on your kids? Let's say it this way. Let's say you're Muslim, all right? And then your parents become Christians. Would you want your child to be influenced by those Christian grandparents? Or would you tell them, listen, my children are Muslim. I don't want you to talk to them about God and about Christianity and about Jesus as their savior. I want you to have their life with them, but I don't want that as a part of it. Is that reasonable? Is that understandable?
Well, that's where Jesus said, you know, don't think that I've come to bring peace but a sword.
I'm just asking you, is it reasonable and understandable? It is reasonable.
Well, I'm saying that, yeah, of course I understand why they would do that. But in doing that, it doesn't mean you did the wrong thing.
No, so, it doesn't. It means you're being persecuted,
yeah,
I mean, right?
So, yeah, you're being persecuted. Right, but, right. You know, and if you have these, any type of relationship, and you just say, all right, I don't want you to talk to my kids about God. And you still have that, and but you're able to abide by that. God will find a way to work it in where they will know there's something different about grandma and grandpa.
Sure. It's just the opportunity to live out that your faith before them, right?
Right. And it goes back, you know, I every time I think about that, I think of the old song, you know, they'll know us by our Christians, they know we are Christians by our love. And right. That will eventually provide opportunity for them to see it. And to experience it.
Yeah. So, you know, this kind of brings us to what I wanted to talk about. How do we provide healing, right? How do we provide healing to a family, to family members who have left the faith, or they don't believe in the faith in which they were raised in? And again, it's like you mentioned, Dan, you pray, you don't have bitterness, you love your grandchildren, and you try to reach out to them in any way that is acceptable to their parents. So as Jim mentioned, so that the love of Christ can be seen in our hearts and our lives. You know, that we are willing to live out our faith when we can't verbalize it at times, so that we can be that light, because light has no voice, okay? It has no voice. Salt has no voice. Okay, but yet it has a profound influence on others.
I agree with you completely. But I mean, like in the case that we started talking about with being canceled, then there's nothing that they're going to observe because you're canceled. Well, they're not going to be there. They're not going to see anything.
Yeah, but we
so
all.
Then it's prayer.
Yep, that's right. We've all said the prayer. And,
right.
You know, with Micah. You know, because he really did not have a relationship with you, or what it was very dysfunctional. He had the other couple that took him in, took him under his wing, and witnessed to him that way.
Yeah, it was a supernatural thing that right. they. But I mean, we'd had many talks with them, you know, for in the middle of the night and.
Sure.
Yeah, right, but
we took trips way out west once.
But how functional was that relationship?
So God was able to reach them through your prayers and as he would, and that's the hope we have, right? That's the hope that our children can be reached. If they cancel us, right, and they're not even answering our phone calls, there is nothing we can do but to pray and to ask God to intervene. Right. In the meantime, before we get canceled, right? It is, how do we nurture and keep healthy some sort of relationship so that we can have, you know, this isn't uncommon. All right. Like I mentioned, you know, 27% of the population has that experience. 47% of the population has had that experience. For mothers, it's about 5 years. For fathers, it can be 7 years. That's the average, okay, regardless if you're Christian or non-Christian, because Satan is desired to destroy anything that God has created, and the family is an image bearer of who he is.
Right.
So there will be these times. I wish there was a quicker way, but healing takes time. Cancer is a long, drawn-out procedure, and this is really a cancer upon our lives and in our society and our families. It's going to take time.
So, yeah, some of this healing is in the time, actually the time that it could take, like with Micah, the time, I mean, he was an alcoholic and he was, you know, using hard drugs. And so, yeah, you can only have so much of a functional relationship with, you know, when they're under the influence like that, obviously. But what it, through lots and lots of prayer, and we realized that's what we had to focus on. And then, yeah, God used another couple supernaturally, and he instantly was delivered from all desire for alcohol.
Isn't that crazy? What a testimony.
Yeah, and then, you know, a couple months later, he comes home, and we were completely restored, as though the years of, you know, all that turmoil with his, you know, substance abuse, as though it never happened.
Yeah.
I mean, we were completely, perfectly, instantly restored. So, but the kind of healing that took, though, was, you know, not, I wouldn't want to fall into too much therapeutic type of language, because what it was supernatural.
Yeah.
And actually, it was instant.
That's the prodigal son, yeah. Right? Father, yeah, and son, exactly. Came to back, and all of a sudden, boom, restoration, right, exactly. Right where.
Party.
Yes. Yeah.
Celebrate. Yeah.
And that's why and we
so
have
that, that's what, it, like in this case, that's what, I had given you the example of, you know, somebody who had said that they had to kick their son out of their house because he was an adult, but actually he was estranged from his wife and, you know, wanting to both of them, like, kind of like have open relationships, including homosexual or heterosexual. And I don't need to go into all the kind of details. It sounds like chaos. But anyway, obviously, you know, parents can't have a child living in their home as Christians when they're going to be living all these deviant kind of sexual lifestyles. And so they did what they had to do in kicking them out. But
okay,
what it takes then is going to be repentance, the kind of healing that's going to happen. I mean, counseling can help and all, sure, but I mean, apart from the Holy Spirit convicting of sin, the person humbly, you know, repenting and turning to God wholeheartedly. I mean, apart from that kind of salvation, you know.
Hey, can I bring something up to you real quick?
Sure.
I remember having the conversation with you, okay, and I hear the phrase that you use, kicking them out, and that's not kicking them out. It's, you know, because that really comes like kind of a harsh term, right?
Yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah,
it's right. It's more like, you know, if you can't abide by the rules that we have and the love we want to show in this family, then no, you make the decision that you need to leave, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We had done a podcast on that. I think you're referring to Micah. And so, yeah, I did use the term, I kicked Micah out. But
right. You know, I understand it. Sometimes it comes across as, you know, as tough love. And I'm saying I dislike that term completely.
I shouldn't use that term probably. It was tough love. But I mean, in that case, what had happened is Micah, you know, I told you, you know, abusing alcohol and hard drugs, and he was living in our house, and we told him, okay, you can come back with our house, but you cannot be drinking in our house. Well, anyway, we found, you know, dozens of bottles of hard liquor in the house, and like,
You were loving and gracious, Dan. You were loving and gracious to them. You know?
Well, on top of that, he had said that this is in the summer of love. You know, Grand Rapids, where 350 businesses are all smashed up in the name of peace and justice. And I told him, well, Micah, we're kind of on different sides of this issue, but I do respect a person's right to protest. And I'm just saying, though, you're living under my roof, so, you know, if it gets violent through the destruction of property, you come straight home. And his answer was, I hope it does. And anyway, the next day, he was extremely nasty to us, and it was just after we found the dozens of liquor. He was not abiding by our rules.
So then, yes, I did
tell him, you know, that you're going to have to leave. We can't live like this. We told you that. And so he went out west to a job that he had there, and, you know, it's exactly what he needed, was to to get away, and there's no way we could live with that. And to live with that would be, you know, I think even dishonoring to God. It's like, sure, we're going to put up with fornication and grave evil and abusing hard drugs and violence. And because, God, you know, we really love our son and we just can't part with him. But we can part with you, though.
You know, back to when Dave brought up the last time about the prodigal son, and, you know, and Dan, you said the supernatural redemption of his turning his life around. But the other right. part is the hope. The son had, he goes, can't go back, but I could go back as a servant. He had the hope that his dad would at least take him back as a servant. And that hope is what brought him back home.
Yep.
And not understanding that his dad was going to accept him well beyond just, you know, well beyond a mere servant. He brought him back into the fold, brought him back as a family, reinstated him into the family. And it's that initial hope is what also drove him home and brought him to where he needed to be. Prior to that, he had no hope.
Yeah, my wife and I read over our diaries, you know, reminiscing and making sense of things after Micah passed. And we both came across passages where we had written, Lord, even if you need to take my life, if that's what it takes to bring Micah back to you, then please do that. And my wife and I both had written that. And
what a love.
Did
right,
yeah, and the same thing then for my other son who was canceled us from being able to see him or our grandchildren. The same thing there, I mean, if I know for sure if he were to call today, if he were to show up today in repentance, it's like boom, all taken care of, everything perfectly restored. But if we were to hang on to unforgiveness or, you know, the wrong kind of anger, any of that, well, then no, Satan would want to use that to make sure it never does happen.
Yeah. And, you know, right now I have zero relationships with all three of my kids. They've walked out, and one really, one, the last one, you say, did he officially, you know, cancel culture us? No, but he hasn't called. He hasn't texted.
Has that been?
3 months.
Okay.
All right. So, but I got lost my train of thought. You're going to have to bring me back on this. I'll shut up for right now. You can delete this part for a time.
This is the first time that Jim is going to shut up. I love this. Oh my, you know,
that's brothers for you.
You know, I think the beautiful thing is that when we pray to God, we're not asking him to do this work in our family's life. I think it's probably more accurate to say he's asking us to engage in the work that he wants to do. That it is God who wants to heal our children. It's God who wants to heal us. It is God who wants to heal the family. It is God who wants to heal this nation. And he's asking us to join him in this process. And we do so in prayer. We do so in how we show love when we've been mistreated. You know, and we earnestly pray for your will to be done, because it is his will that we're asking. So oftentimes we think it's our own. God, heal my family. God says, I want to heal your family. Join me in this. All right. Hey, well, I appreciate it. We've kind of covered this quite a bit. I'm sure there's more that we can talk about, but God is always good.
I'd like to make one more point, though.
Oh, here we go.
And just to say that also, I realize that God loves my son, you know, and my other son who passed away far more than I ever could. And he loves everybody on earth that way.
Amen.
And he wants us to be praying for all of them. So another thing that just as a word of warning is that this could be a trap, too, in which somebody is so overcome with grief and going over in their head over and over and over. is there something I said? Is there something that wasn't right? And, you know, to where it can be, you know, detrimental to moving on with one's life, that you do have to move on with your life to be used by the Holy Spirit to save other people who God equally loves just as much, and not to let this lock you up.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Daniel. I would say you were right, and that would be number three, possibly.
Number three, yeah.
All right. Well, God bless you. Hey, thanks for joining, Daniel, and thanks for joining, Jim. I always call him Jimmy. I just specifically try to give him his adult name, Jim. But God bless you. Thank you both for joining me as we discuss this. All right. That's a wrap.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Well, thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the fourth and final in the series, Cancel Culture on the Family Level. We hope you continue to tune in and don't drop out as we continue with conversations that make a difference in our lives. Until the next time, go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.